Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord. This is Macedonian Call around the globe, and we're so glad to be with you tonight and just praising the Lord. This is Valentine's Day on February the 14th, 2014, and I was thinking, I saw it all over Facebook earlier today, how Jesus, what He done on the cross, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the best love that anyone could ever know. Praise God. Jesus even told us, He called His friend, and He said, I call you friend. He said, a friend, praise God, will die for you, praise the Lord. And that's exactly what He did. And I paraphrase that because I don't have that scripture right in front of me where He called Him friend, praise the Lord. And are you a friend to Jesus tonight? I know I am. I know He is a best friend. He sticketh closer than a brother, and I just love Him so much. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, praise the Lord. We've got several prayer requests. And at this time, we want Rachel to come in, and she's going to read her scripture, praise the Lord.
Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night.
Amen. Praise God. So that's good word there. I tell you, the whole Bible from front to back is good, and we just thank the Lord for Rachel. She's 10 years old, and she's a good girl. And I thank the Lord for all my children. And I thank the Lord for sending me a good husband, a Christian home, a Christian man that walks up a godly man. Praise the Lord. And tonight's subject is, what is man? And if you want to be part of this broadcast, we want you to call in at 347-989-8862. And a couple prayer requests we've got already. Brother Curtis Oney, he's not feeling well tonight. He's sick. We need to lift him up in prayer. And also Brother Tim Hall. Brother Tim has had some illness with his heart, and he's had surgery. I don't think he minds if I tell it. He's had, I believe it was a triple bypass, and things went wrong with the surgery. They weren't able, there's a place behind his heart they're not able to get to, so they can't do surgery again, and he turned in prayer requests. One of them is him and Sister Frida, his wife. They need a financial blessing and also need healed in their bodies. And Brother Hall also turned in another prayer request and said, on a scale from 1 to 10, the pain that he's having in his chest right now is a 16. So we really need to take this urgent, and we did. We went to our room, and we agreed together, Rachel and Clinton and I, that the Lord will heal him, will move for him. He's been to the hospital before for it, and they said there's nothing that they can do. They don't see any reason why he's having the pain, but just we need to keep, lift him up in prayer. He's a great man of God. He evangelizes all over the country, and we just appreciate him and his wife very, very, very much. And at this time, we want Brother Green to come in, and we want him. I'm trying to get the mic turned on. It seems like every Friday night, for some reason, we have trouble here with the computer and to get the mics turned on. So while I'm working on that, we're going to have my husband, the love of my life, praise the Lord, Jesus Christ first, and then my husband to come in, and he's going to obey God. And, you know, I was thinking here while I have that said, that Christ, he is over the man, and over Christ is God, and over the woman is her husband, is man, praise the Lord. And I just thank the Lord that we understand that, that we know that, and that's how it is in our household, is my husband, godly husband I'm talking about. The only husband I have, but if you've got a godly husband, he is the head of your house. And over him is Christ, and over Christ is God. Praise the Lord. So I want him to come in and obey the Lord here while I work on this computer. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. It's good to be with you. And, you know, we got a subject tonight. I don't know if it's hard subject, easy subject, or what, but the Lord, nothing too hard for the Lord, praise God. And the subject tonight is, what is man? And we find this scripture in Hebrews chapter 2. I want to turn over there and read that. There'll be probably other ministers preaching on this tonight. They may use the same scriptures if that's what they've got written down or planned out or how the Lord wants to use them. Don't let me hinder you if I read some of your scriptures, because if you read some of mine, it's not going to bother me. It's just confirmation that God is moving, you know, that way. And in chapter 2, verse 6, it says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And that's the subject tonight, is what is man? You know, God, I was thinking here, I'll say a little bit here and then I'll turn it back to Joanna. God made man. The Bible tells us there in the book of Genesis that God made man in his own image. And we turn back here to Genesis chapter 1, and we find out that God made man. It was God's desire. It was his plan to make man. It was not the angel's plan. In fact, he said here in verse 26 of chapter 1, it said, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God made man, Bible said, in his own image. And he made a little farther down, it said, well, it says here in verse 27, So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. So he did not, he didn't make a difference between the woman and the man as far as having dominion over everything that moved upon the face of the earth. It said there in verse 28 that God blessed them. It didn't say just him, but he blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. So he gave man and woman, the first man and woman, he gave dominion over everything, the Bible says here, over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God had given them authority. He had given them dominion, which means authority. And he had placed them in the garden. At one point here, we find that he placed them in the garden, and he gave them everything in the garden that they needed. They had everything they'd ever want. And he made man on the sixth day after he had created the animals, the cattle and the creeping things, whatever they were, the beasts of the earth and the fowls, everything that flew and everything that swam in the sea, and the great whales and everything, every creature that moveth in the waters, he created. God created them. And he said here, let us make man in our image. So I believe he was talking to Christ, was with him, the Father and the Son. And we was over there in Hebrews chapter 2, but there is scripture also in chapter 1 that needs to be probably preached or read. But what I'm getting at here is God gave man and woman dominion. When they were first created, they were made the head. They were above everything that moved, everything that flew, everything that swam. There was nothing that was over them. They were the supreme, you might say, the ruler of this world. They were rulers of this world. But they weren't ruling in a harsh and a mean way, and they weren't hard taskmasters or whatever, but they was to rule in love. They were to be kind to the animals. And the Bible said that the animals, he brought the animals to Adam, and Adam named them the animals. So I don't know how long that took him to do it, but he did it. And I don't know if the wife had a part in it. I'm not sure about that. Maybe she came later when he took the rib and made the woman. But anyhow, what I'm getting at here is God gave man dominion, and he placed him in that garden. In chapter 2, verse 5, it says, in verse 4, it says, These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. And it goes on down here. It says here in verse 6, verse 7, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we're going down here in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. And it goes on to tell about that, how that God made, took Adam and a deep sleep upon him, and he took the rib of Adam and he made the woman. And then he brought the woman to the man, and he called her woman. Adam did. Praise God. And we know later that there was a time when the tempter came to Adam and Eve in the garden, and the tempter came and he tempted Eve. I can't find in the Bible that Adam was there, or if he wasn't there, it don't really say. But the thing about it is, she partook of the fruit and gave also to her husband. And he partook of the fruit also. And sin passed upon all men because the law of God was broken, because God had given them a law that they should not eat of that tree that was in the midst of the garden. And when the day would come, he told them that they eat of that tree, they would surely die. We know that they did not die that particular day, physically, but they died spiritually. I'll put it that way. As far as I can tell, you know, the Bible says a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And according to Scripture, no natural man on this earth has ever lived to be 1,000 years old. But the oldest man was Methuselah, and I think he lived 969 years, and he died. But some of them lived 800 to 900 years, but they died. And the Bible said 1,000 years is as one day with the Lord, and a day is 1,000 years. So God's timetable is a little bit different than mine and yours. One day with us is 24 hours, but God's time is a little different, but we'll get off of that, and I'll go on here to Hebrews, where he said, what is man that they are mindful of him? The angels was asking this question, why are you watching out for man? What's this all about? The Bible tells us someplace that the angels desire to look into this salvation, that they do not understand it. And Joanna said a little earlier how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But why did he do it? And the angel asked, what is man? Well, the reason he done it was because he loved us. He loved us so much that he knew that there had to be a remedy, that something had to be done because of the sin that had passed upon all men because of Adam and Eve's transgression in the garden. When they transgressed the law of God, they stepped across the line, is what they done, if you want to put it that way. You know, we used to sing a song about stepping across the line, and I had a album one time with a man singing, and he said, well, it's gone from me right now, and maybe it'll come back, something about stepping across the line. He said, I can show you where to look, but you got to seek to find. You got to take a step across the line. You know, it's that way tonight. Yeah, we can tell you about salvation. We can tell you what you must do to be saved. But you have to take that step across the line. You have to seek in order to find. You have to knock in order for it to be opened. And you have to ask in order for to receive. Now I'm going to turn it back to Joanna here for just a few minutes.
Praise the Lord. If you want to be a part of this tonight, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. And we just thank the Lord for today. This is Valentine's Day, and I know I said today that the only rose I know is Jesus. He's the rose of Sharon. Praise God. And I said in all of our mess-ups and things along the road, along the line, that we must be a thorn, praise God. And, you know, Jesus is the rose. And some of us need to get our rough edges cut off of us. And, you know, when David was looking for stones when he was going to go after Goliath, he found five smooth stones, praise the Lord. And Brother John, we've heard him preach a great message on that not too long ago. And I just love the Lord and thank God for the callers here tonight. I finally got the mics turned on, and we're going to have 770 come in and tell us who you are, where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Brother and Sister Green. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise God, brother. It's glad to have you in on here. And 423, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood down here in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. We appreciate all of y'all and thank God that you've called in and to be with us on this day. You all could be doing other things, and we appreciate that you took time out to be with us tonight. And we want to wish both of you and your spouses, your Sister Samples and Sister Betty, happy Valentine's Day as well. And we're going to have Brother John. Do you feel like going ahead, brother, and obeying God?
However you want to do, Sister Green, however you want me to do, I can go ahead, or if somebody else, however you want to do it. I'm always ready, so whenever.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead, brother. We've got plenty of time. We got a rough start getting in there with our computer. That's been like three Fridays in a row now, but we're not letting no devil hinder us. He tries to. He'd like to stop this, but we're going on for Jesus just the same. Praise God. And Brother John, go ahead and just obey the Lord, brother.
Well, I appreciate that, Brother Sister. Really appreciate and then the opportunity. You know, I was thinking, and I was talking to Brother Yearwood the other day, and as you were talking about that, you know, I know that, you know, the ministers that are on this broadcast have come through different paths of life and through different avenues, and is even thinking, amen, even earlier, God, the Spirit of the Lord was dealing with me, and this is not what I was going to preach on, but I did want to say this as you were talking about that. You know, the Bible speaks of in John, I believe it's in John 21, when the disciples had, amen, and been fishing, and after the burial of Lord Jesus Christ, and at the time of the resurrection, amen, when he appeared unto them. And Peter went back, amen, and he's talking about, his Brother Green was talking about, having dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, amen. And, you know, that's where we got dominion in the first place, amen. That was given to us, was given to man. You know, what we're speaking on and preaching on tonight is what is man. One of the things that man is, he, as Brother Green has said, he was given dominion because he was made in the image, which is Selim, which means the shadow of the Heavenly Father. Amen. As even Christ was the express image of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he overshadowed, amen, Mary. Amen. It was like a photograph, amen, because he was in the direct image. When you've seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he said, he was made a little lower than the angels, but he was crowned, amen, he was changed. He's the captain of our salvation tonight, amen, and he was made a little lower so that he could be subject to death, amen, for us. And as you said, the scripture in John chapter 15, it speaks about, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. And he said, I no longer call you servant, but I call you friend, because the servant doesn't know what his Lord this is. We have a Lord tonight, amen, that has laid down his life. We have a good shepherd, as the scripture teaches in John chapter 10, that has laid down his life. It wasn't taken, it was given, amen, so that he laid it down, he could also pick it back up. On the third day, he picked it back up. But not only did he pick up his own life, but he picked back everyone that would come after him, that we would all be a first fruits, amen, of the first begotten, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we all, as we are born again of the Spirit, as Brother Green brought it out in John chapter 3, amen, that this, that those of you that are born of the Spirit and born again are of the first fruits. You have the inheritance of the first begotten, amen, Son. So you have that inheritance, and that inheritance is God the Father, amen, and eternal life. We thank the Lord for what he's done. But as you were bringing this out, and as we've had trouble, amen, with the mics every Friday night for the last 3 weeks, I was thinking, amen, as the disciples, amen, Peter said, as the Lord was crucified, he said, I go a-fishing, and he went back, amen, to what he had been called from, amen. He went back to things that he knew, amen, and because one of the things, he had been given the dominion. Tonight, you've been given the dominion, and the Bible says, I believe, like I said, I believe it's John chapter 21, somewhere around verse 6, talks about that they had been fishing all night long. Amen. Some of you, amen, that have been on the ministers that have been on this broadcast, you've come other ways and you've been fishing. Amen. Everyone that's a minister has been made fishers of men. You've been given dominion. Amen. And hallelujah. And as John and James, amen, the sons of thunder, and many of them were fishing. I was talking about this to Brother Yearwood the other night. You know, I see us, amen, the ministers that are on here, that, amen, some of us have been fishing all night long. And, you know, a few weeks back we had about a broadcast about be not weary and well-doing, fail thou shalt reap, and thou faint not in due season. And we've come to this place, amen, and hallelujah, and we've come, amen, as they were fishing all night long. They didn't catch anything. Maybe in our lives past, amen, seems like we fished and seeming like there was nothing to catch, nothing really coming out of the harvest, nothing really, even though it seemed like we were working. And but anyhow, I just feel this is words of encouragement. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it says, comfort one another with these words. And amen, I thought about, amen, as they fished all night long, and he told them, he said, children, have you any meat? He appeared to them, amen, on the shore, and they said no. And he said, cast your net on the right side. And when they cast their net for on the right side, and you know, this is the internet that we're on tonight, amen. And I think it's casting the net on the right side when you've been fishing all night long in your Bible studies and your home Bible studies, and you've been going out to individuals, maybe having home meetings, and you've been going to churches, and you've been doing all this fishing, and maybe. And sometimes there was a great catch, amen, and you need to know a great catch. How much is a great catch? Well, if one is caught, that's a great catch, amen, hallelujah. But tonight, amen, we thank the God that as they were coming, and amen, they were leisurely fishing when they cast the net on the right side. Peter said that, Lord, we've been fishing all night long, but nevertheless, at thy word, and as we've cast the internet, amen, as Brother Yearwood brought, and as God began to speak to the ministries that have come together, amen, on this broadcast on Friday nights and Tuesday nights and on other nights where we've been broadcasting, amen, that hallelujah, that as we've cast the net, that internet on the right side, hallelujah, and even though we might have been fishing all night long, amen, he said, get ready for a draw. Then all of a sudden, when they had caught nothing, all of a sudden, you know, tonight, as I feel like Brother and Sister Green and Sister Gladys and Sister Joanna's mother and Brother Lloyd and Sister Betty and Brother Eddie and some of the others, Brother Hall and some of the others, and the brother in Charleston, some of the ones that have gathered, and Brother Tony, amen, on our other broadcast, they've come. I feel like we're like James and John and Andrew and Peter, where the boats have come together, and we're getting ready, and we're letting the net down, and it's such a great draught that we've come together, and our boats have come together, and we've let the net down, and we've come together to catch in the great draught, the great fish, because God has made us fishers of men tonight, and that's what man is, amen, hallelujah. That's what man is, as we come together, amen, to gather in, amen, the very things of God, and that's what I see. But God began to deal with me out of Psalm chapter 8. This is the Psalm of David. Amen. It's the Psalm of David to the chief physician upon Gittith. Now, amen, this is a tune, or this was a musical instrument out of Gath. But the Bible says in Psalms 8, verse 1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. You know, God has set his glory. He said he would not, by the prophet Isaiah, he said, my glory will I not give to another, nor my praise any graven images. Hallelujah. But we know tonight that we have beheld his glory. The Bible says in John chapter 1, amen, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We find, amen, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Amen. We have been eyewitnesses, those that have been looking for his Word, those, as Sister Joanne said earlier, those that have been seeking for his Word and seeking for his glory, have found it. The Bible says in Matthew 6 and Luke chapter 11, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone seeketh findeth, and to everyone that knocketh it shall be opened to you. So we know that the glory, amen, is above the heavens. The Bible tells us in Psalms 19 and verse 1, it tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. If you want to see the glory of God, the Bible says, amen, that he is Jehovah Nissi. He is the Lord our banner. The Bible tells us in the Songs of Solomon that his banner arrests love. You need to know, as we've been talking about, amen, this is Valentine's Day. And if you want to see the love of God, just look up and see the banner over you. Just look up and see the heavens. Look up and see the sky. Look up and see the love that God has come. And even as, amen, talking about the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, that's what Christ is. Amen. He who is made a little lower than angels. But we find, amen, that in verse 2, hallelujah, says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. God had ordained. That's Yesod. In other words, that means that you have laid a foundation in the babes. You have laid a foundation, amen, in the suckling children, amen, to give them strength, amen, in the strength that the enemy saw, that coming out of these babes, coming out of, amen, these suckling child, those that were drawn from the breast. You know, the Bible teaches us, amen, by the prophet Isaiah. It speaks of, hallelujah, in Psalms 28, I believe it is. It talks about Psalms 28, I believe it starts in verse 9. Hallelujah, it says this, whom shall he teach knowledge? Hallelujah. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? In other words, who will understand, amen, his teachings? Will you understand? He said, thou hast ordained babes. Amen. The Bible says, amen, amen, to desire the sincere milk of the word. Hallelujah, that you may grow thereby. God had promised man, amen, to come into the land of promise. God had promised man, the children of Israel, those that he had chosen, those that he ordained. The Bible says, amen, hallelujah, as they come. When you get in your Bible, amen, it's a land, it's a place of promise, flowing with milk and honey, with great fruit. You need to know that from Genesis, that which is in the beginning, as hallelujah, that man was placed in the garden, as Brother Green said, in the very beginning, hallelujah, made in the very image of God, hallelujah, because we need to know today, I believe it's in Psalms 100 and verse 3, amen, that we have not made ourselves, but we are the sheep, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. That's what man is. We belong to God. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, which one of you, not leaving the 99, amen, a shepherd, amen, amen. They talked about God left his glory. God left his throne. God left his place in heaven. God, the Bible says, amen, that that this word was with him in the beginning. It was his wisdom, amen, from the foundation of the world. But hallelujah, he left that place of glory. He said, glorify me again, amen, with the glory that I had with you in the beginning. But amen, he left that glorification. He left that place, amen, to come down because he was mindful of man. The word mindful there in the Hebrew means I do remember man. I remember, amen, the Bible says in Isaiah, that I've engraven thee in the palms of my hand. Thy laws are continually before me. You need to know that at the cross of Calvary, amen, when the nails were engraved in his hands, you were engraved and you were remembered. The Bible says Jesus Christ, who endured the death of the cross, who for the joy that was set before him, there was a prize set before him. The Bible says, pressed for the mark of the prize of the high calling, amen, which is in Christ Jesus. You need to know tonight, the Bible tells us to forget those things which are behind and press toward that mark. Amen. There is a mark and there's a hope tonight. Amen. And Jesus Christ, amen, was the author of Israel of faith, who, for the hope, what was that hope? It was you tonight. And if it would have been one, I serve a God tonight that would leave the 99 righteous and go after the one that is lost. He said, I have come, amen, to seek and to save that which is lost. God left heaven. God was manifested in the flesh, received under heaven, reached unto the Gentiles, amen, amen. Who was he? We were made, amen, even as Jesus, as Brother Green all brought out. He was made a little lower than the angels so that he would be subject to death. He lowered himself and humbled himself, amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:6 that the government was upon his shoulders, amen. That was his rule, but you need to know that government was the cross that Calvary, and he laid it upon his back. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 22 that Eliakim was given, and he'd given the government, amen, that was upon his shoulders. The Bible says in Isaiah 9 that the increase of his government and kingdom there shall be no end. And you need to know tonight that he wants you to be a part of that kingdom. He wants you to be a part of that government, and that government that was upon his shoulders, amen, at the time, amen, amen, the Jewish man, and just as Sister Green already brought out, that the husband, amen, is over the woman, and the woman, amen, hallelujah, amen, and the man is over the woman, and Christ is over the man, and God is over Christ, amen, that we may be all in all. But you need to know that all that he has is of the Father, and the Father will give, amen, unto thee. The Bible says in John 16, amen, that all that is thine is mine, amen. He says in Luke chapter 15, verse 31, he told the elder brother, he said, all that I have is yours. You need to know tonight, church, that everything that the Heavenly Father is available to you tonight, for he will give it to you. Amen. Amen. If you'll become his son, what is he mindful of? Because you are his people. You are the sheep of his pasture. And the Bible says, amen, again, like I said, that the government was upon his shoulders. That was the cross at Calvary. And he told, amen, that he took his government and laid it upon the hand. In other words, even as Simon, amen, when he carried the government upon his shoulder, but there in the Jewish, it was the Jewish custom, as a mantle, amen, that there was the government, it was the rule. And as Brother Green, I just use him as an example, or even my life as an example, amen, amen, the government, the rule, the dominion, amen, that was given to man, as Brother Green brought out in the beginning, was given also unto his wife, because they became one. And tonight, amen, as we became one, husband and wife became one, she was given that government, she was given that rule, she was given dominion, as my mantle fell upon her, and she took on my name as the cross of Calvary that was put upon the shoulder. And he said, amen, that yoke upon the shoulders in Isaiah 10:27, and that it's a yoke of bondage. But when we put on the yoke of Christ, that anointing of Christ, that anointing, amen, is on Calvary, that anointing of the high priest, as Jesus the Messiah, the anointed high priest, hung on the cross in his blood, the anointing fell down. It destroyed the yoke in that day, the Bible says. The Assyrians had come, and it's completely destroyed. And tonight, if you receive that into your hand, as it says, I believe it's in Isaiah 22, 21, somewhere around there, where he gave an amen to government into the hand and the key of David, amen, that it speaks of also in Revelation chapter 3, the key of David, which was the house of David, that he gave it into his hands. Tonight you have a key to the king's palace. The Bible says, I believe it's in Proverbs 30, he says, the Bible says that the spider takes hold and are in king's palaces. That's a web. A spider weaves a web. And tonight we're on the World Wide Web, and the spider's hands are going into wherever you're at right now. Amen. And in king's palace. But you need to know what makes a king's palace. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, he said, I make unto you. He said, grace and peace unto you. In Revelation chapter 1, he told John there in the Isle of Patmos, amen, that is he wrote. Amen. And he said, grace and peace. And from he which was, which is, and which is to come, from the seven spirits, amen, that are before the throne of God. And he said, and Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, he said, who makes unto you kings and priests. You want to know what makes a king's palace tonight? It's not the palace itself. It's not the place. A palace is not a king's palace without a king. But tonight, wherever you're at right now, God is making you kings and priests. He's making you priest under the order of Melchizedek, an unchangeable priesthood. There's a love story going on. What is man? Man is the high priest. Amen. Of the Lord God Most High. What is man? God. Man is the king that God has made him when you come and believe in him, when you come and are born again. And guess what? The very moment that you're a king, tonight you might be living in a mud hutch. You might be living in a thatched hut. You might even be homeless tonight. You might not have anything. But if you've got an ear to hear tonight, you need to know that right wherever you're at, as you receive Christ, he'll make you kings and priests. And right wherever you are is a king's palace. It doesn't matter, because you know what? A palace is not a king's palace without a king. But God wants to make you king, because he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the Bible says, them that are weaned from the milk. That's Isaiah 28:9. Remember what it said over there in Psalms chapter 8? He said, Who has their doing? For out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, those that have been drawn from the breast. And tonight, amen, the word of God, amen, is full of milk flowing. It's full of the land, milk. And tonight, we can draw from the bosom of the Heavenly Father. We can draw from his bosom life-giving milk, as the Bible says, and drawn from the milk, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. In other words, the Jewish people were taught, it went line by line, down the way, word by word, amen, for his stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, there is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. God has spoken to you, and I'm speaking to you tonight. There's a rest for those of you that are weary tonight. There's a rest for you that have been weary tonight. There's a rest for you that have been fishing all night long and have caught nothing. There's a rest for you that have been laboring, amen, and have been looking for a due season. Tonight, prophetically, I'm speaking to you. This is your due season, because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, while the earth remains, there'll be summer and winter, seed time and harvest. Oh, this is your harvest, church. Amen. This is your harvest. God is the husbandman. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine, and ye are the branches. Amen. But you cannot bear fruit without abiding in the vine. He said, without me you can do nothing. We must live in Christ. We must live in the true vine. The Bible says, take care unto the, listen to this little foxes. It's the little evils, amen, that have destroyed you, church. It's the little things, amen, that have come, amen. But because the Bible says in the Songs of Solomon, take unto us the little foxes, for our vine has tender grapes, amen. You need to know tonight, amen, that the true vine is brought forth the true fruit. And the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For those of you that are weary tonight, you've been traveling in a wayfaring land. You've been traveling in a wilderness and desert. You're thirsty. you're hungry. But tonight, if you'll just come to Jesus, there is a rest. You have learned, he said, the Bible says he's still the avenger and the enemy, because they see, they have saw the strength of the babes. They've saw the strength. Why? Because he has ordained strength. In other words, there is a foundation. There's something in the life of believers. There's something in the babes of Christ. There's simply in that of those that are drawing from the west. The Bible says in Isaiah 28:13, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little and there little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Hallelujah. But we find, amen, going on down there, that, amen, paraphrasing it, going on down there through verse 14, that they had made a covenant with hell. They had made a refuge of lies, and under falsehood they hid themselves. Amen. But he says in verse 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. That's when it says, I ordained strength. He laid a foundation in those babes. Church, tonight, let his man that out may fall. If you allow him, he'll lay a foundation. He'll be the chief cornerstone in your life. For a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line. Remember what Brother Green said tonight? They're talking about the line. He said, judgment will I lay to the line. In other words, God's judgment, God's discerning, he's laying the line. The Bible says in Amos that they saw a minister in the plumb line. It's where God's drawing the line. There's a line of judgment. There's a line, amen. Many of them say, I cannot go beyond the will of the Lord. God says, you cannot remove the old landmark. God is drawing the line, and it's the bloodline. You can't cross over the bloodline, amen. You can't go beyond the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And the Bible says, and righteousness to the plummet. In other words, that's the plumb line. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. In other words, God's going to send the hail, God's going to send the rains, and it's going to overflow the hiding place. People are trying to hide in death. People are trying to hide in the refuge of lies. But you need to know, the Bible says tonight in Psalms 46, God is your refuge. God is your refuge. And they've ordained strength, the Bible says. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians. Amen. You need to know tonight that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. It says that it's in Isaiah 54, verse 17, that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment. Remember, he laid judgment to the line. Thou shalt condemn. In other words, God's condemning it. Amen. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. The Bible says, touch not my anointing, and do my prophets no harm. What is man that thou art mindful of? He is the sheep of God. He is the people of God. He is made a little lower, but God has crowned him with life. The Bible says in Revelation, hold fast, amen, to that which you've got. Lose not your crown of life. God has crowned you. And even though we've been made a little lower than his angels, a little lower than his messengers, he's crowned us with glory. The Bible says, we're talking about Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By wisdom, the world didn't know God. In other words, by the worldly wisdom. The Bible says there is a wisdom that comes from above. It's peaceable, easily being entreated. The Bible says in James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. But hallelujah, there is a wisdom of the world. There is a knowledge in it, just as Brother Green already brought it out. The fruit of that tree of the knowledge is knowledge of good and evil. You have to understand something. Where wheat and tares grow up together, the root system grow together. Amen. The Bible says that there was a time when the Lord came in, went out and sowed good seed. But while men slept, then he came in and sowed tares among the wheat. Had no fruit. The Bible says you'll be known by your fruit. Here it is, the Father glorified, John 15:8, that we bear much fruit. The more fruit we bear, the more God gets glory. The Bible speaks of in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It talks about the fruits of the Spirit. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we must bear much of that fruit because we are made in the image of God. And if we're made in the image of God, then we will have those fruits because the good tree bears good fruit. Do that tonight, amen. There are different types of soil. There's the good ground, there's the stony ground, there's the different grounds, and there's the different... What is your ground like tonight? My prayer is tonight that it's good ground, and let this seed fall on good ground, that you might have 30 and 60 and 100-fold increase in harvest tonight. Amen. This is good seed. The word of God is good seed. But it will not produce if your heart's not prepared tonight, if it's not falling into good ground. If you haven't prepared the way of the Lord, the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4, verse 4, hallelujah, he says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, go before him, make a highway in the wilderness. Are you making a highway for God to come to you? Are you making preparations? Are you laying a foundation? The Bible says that he shall make every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, every crooked place made straight, in every rough place made plain. The ways of a righteous man should be made plain, but God, only God can do it. But the Bible says, hallelujah, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom that we preach. He shows by the foolishness of preaching. They preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block unto the Greeks' foolishness. So you see, Jesus Christ to the Jews became a stumbling block. Inside it, he was laid a cornerstone, but it became a headstone. For those of you who have rejected, what do you do with a headstone? A headstone is something that is a marker of a grave where death is. And everything underneath that marker is where dead men lay, dead men's bones. But if we've made Jesus Christ, he said, I made you the head, not the tail. I made you above only, not beneath. But if you aren't laid on the foundation, the Bible says, thou hast ordained strength. In other words, you laid a foundation in the babes. You laid a foundation in the suckers. You laid a foundation in those that were growing, and they were made strong. He chose the foolish things of the world. He chose to preach. They didn't say glorified Christ. They didn't preach a glorified Christ. They preached a crucified Christ. And that crucified Christ, we don't want to go that way. You have to go that way. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You must be crucified before you can be glorified. Because, as Moses said, he could have been staying in the Pharaoh's house, but he chose for the suffering of Christ rather than to live in men. Tonight, you have to choose tonight the suffering of Christ. But if you choose, I reckon the Bible says it's nothing to be compared to suffering. Amen. For the glory. Oh, God's giving his glory. What is a man that thou art mindful of? That you remember him, that you would come and visit him. God came and visited. He made a visitation. But you know what? For those of you who will receive him, he'll do more than just visit you. He'll come and make his abode with you. Because that where he is, you may be also. God is preparing in those of you that open the door. And those of you that come in, the Bible says in John 14, 23, that the Father, Brother Green already brought this out, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit coming in and living within you. It's got to be a change. But this is the choice you have to make. You have to be mindful. Amen. Because the Bible says, how mindful live it? Excuse me. The Bible says, he said, he even talked to man in Proverbs 6. He said, consider the ant, thou sluggard, that gathers his meat in the summer. Amen. And gathers in the heart. Church, it's time. Man, it's time. Son of man, it's time. That while it's harvest time, it's time to get your harvest ready. While it's time, it's gathering time. It's time to gather for the meat. Amen. The Bible says that this sluggard would go out, see that it's cold, and would not harvest. Tonight it's cold out there. Some of you it's warm. Maybe some of you, it's, no matter what the season, we have to go. And because tonight it's time to put our hands to the plow. It's time to water. It's time to plant. And it's time to get. It's time for the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, weeping in tears. So, amen. Hallelujah. And sowing in tears, but weeping and rejoicing in the morning. The Bible says that weeping endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The resurrecting power of Jesus Christ, bringing the seed. That's what it's speaking about. In Psalms 126, and the Bible says, because of the foolishness, going back to 1 Corinthians, verse 25, is wiser than man. and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren. Hallelujah. Have thou not many wise men after the flesh? Not many mighty, not many noble are called. In other words, not many of the mighty men were called. Not many of the nobles were called. But God, here's what God has chosen. Verse 27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. What is that saying there? Well, before 84, that's telling me I'm a foolish man. I'm a foolish man because I'm speaking of this Christ that hung on the cross, that went into a tomb, but in right now, tonight, is ever interceding for me. I'm speaking as a weak thing. Amen. Why am I speaking as a weak thing? Because it's confounding the things that are mighty. What did it say over there in Psalms 8? The enemy and the avenger saw the babes of Christ, the sucklings of Christ. Oh, I might be a babe, I might be a suckling, but my foundation is upon the rock. He said, who art thou? He asked Peter, who art thou? Whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, amen, hallelujah. He said, blessed art thou, son of Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, I give unto you the keys in the kingdom, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. When we have the Christ in the revelation, that amen, that he is that rock, amen. He said in the verse 28, the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That tells me one thing tonight, that I'm a base thing. That tells me one thing tonight, that I'm a despised thing. That tells me the one thing tonight, that I'm a chosen thing. The Bible says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, amen, that you should show forth, amen, hallelujah. The Bible says, amen, amen, hallelujah, that in Psalms 115, verse 9, says, O Israel, trust thou the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and your shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and your shield. God tonight is your help and your shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Verse 12. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more and your children. God wants to bless you tonight, church. God wants to increase you tonight. What is man that thou art mindful of? The Bible says he made him a little lower than the angels, but yet he crowned him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of his hand, my hand, thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. What is man? He's a vessel of honor that's been given the glory. He's a weak, he's foolish, he's base, but God saw something in him. He's looked upon the heart and said, those are the ones I want. Church tonight, no matter what you are, no matter what your degree, no matter what you come, he just wants you for you. What are you? You are the sons and daughters of God, and he wants to pour out his spirit. What are you? He wants to crown you with his glory. He wants you to make you his kings and his priests. He wants you to make the sheep of his pasture. What are you? You are the Lord of, you are what God is mindful of tonight. I'm going to ask the glory of heaven to come down. If there would have just been one, he would have came to come after you. We can receive him tonight because he's mindful of you. The Bible says, can a maid forget her tire? Or a mother, her suckling child, you forgot me days without number. Will you come back? Will you be mindful of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because what is man that thou art mindful of? He's visiting you. He's visiting you right now, and he's mindful of you. Will you come where you can commune together and let us reason together? Though your sins be as red as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. Come unto him because he's ever mindful of you, and he'll never forget you. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise the Lord. That's a good word, Brother John. And if he's talking to you tonight and you need to give your heart to the Lord, there's no better time than the present, right now. For the day is the day of salvation. And all you have to do is, like Pastor John said, you need to die out to sin. We preach a crucified Jesus Christ, and we must die out as he died. Praise the Lord. He took our shame, and he took it to the tomb, and then he resurrected, and he's glorified. Praise God. And I love that what he said about the only glorification you're going to get is once you die out and accept Christ as your Savior. Praise the Lord. And thank God we're one of these days, Brother John, we're going to be redeemed from this old earth. And that's a great day coming. We're just pilgrims here in a strange land, and we're looking to make heaven our home. And people think we fell off the wagon. They think we're crazy and all, but one of these days they're going to say, what's this? And they're going to run to the rocks of the mountains to fall on them, but they're not going to be able to, that's not going to happen. They're going to see our Christ coming after us, and every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you've not made Christ your Savior tonight, you need to do that really quickly, for he is coming. The Bible talks about how he's even at the door. And I thought about in John the Baptist when he said, I must decrease for God to increase, for Christ to increase in me, he must decrease. We must humble ourselves as one of these little ones, Jesus said. Praise God, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It welcomes the little children, the little babes in the Lord, and we have to get humble. Praise the Lord. And I want to share this here song with you, and I hope it blesses you. And just listen in as it begins to play, and get it going here real quick. Praise God.
My father's side. In 3 days I will rise.
Praise the Lord. What a wonderful song. Praise God. Jesus knows what it's like to be a man. He came, he's the Word of God, and he put on this flesh, and he came down lower than the angels, the Bible said. And he knows what it's like to go through any type of persecution. He knows what you and I face every day. Yeah, if you've gone through something and it's really bad, remember Jesus already felt the pain. He already knows. He has already been through what you go through. Praise God. And the thing is you're to be an overcomer. By the word of your testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, you can do it. You can be an overcomer with his help. Praise God. And that's a wonderful song. I tell you, that was definitely God that gave that writer that song. And it sure blesses my heart, blesses my soul. Praise God. And we want you to continue to pray for Brother Tim Hall. And also pray for Amanda Kirby. She says pray for her mom. Sister Gladys Dittmer, she's not able to be with us tonight. Praise God, she is listening in, and we appreciate her very much. And but she's had a rough day, rough evening, and we need to lift her up in prayer. She says pray for John Loveless and Gary Ross. Healing touch, unspoken requests also for her family. So we need to remember those. Remember Curtis Oney. Again, he has been sick since Wednesday night. Also, there's been a few deaths in his family. Remember that family. And remember, like I said, Sister Frieda Hall as well, a physical touch and a financial blessing for her and Brother Hall. And an urgent prayer request, we turned it in earlier, that Brother Tim Hall was on a scale from 1 to 10, he was having a 16 of chest pain. So that was off the scale. The 10 being the worst pain, it was like a number 16. So remember him. Remember all these prayer requests. And, of course, Brother Yearwood, when you all just obey God, turn in your prayer requests. And Pastor John, also before we pray, we want you to turn in your prayer request as well. Brother Yearwood, go right ahead, brother.
Okay, well, Sister Green, I don't know if Brother John felt this or not, but down there in Augusta, Georgia, just a few minutes ago, there was a 5.4 earthquake just hit down there, and it was felt 120 miles away, all the way up to Boiling Springs, South Carolina. So we don't know if anybody was hurt or anything like that, but anyway, we need to pray for them. And if Brother John's in there, he might come in there and tell us something. He might have felt it himself.
It's,
praise the Lord.
I don't know if you heard tonight by wife. Well, they're all dogs. We got a couple of dogs and they're watchdogs, and they were there was a rumble now, so they started barking in the background. So, yeah, there's definitely some things going on. And I really felt the Lord was dealing with me about, it says in Isaiah 59:19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. And there's an escape. And, there's just so many things with this weather going on, the different, the storms and the drought. And, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And, these are things that are going on. Just like you said, Brother Lord, we need to seek the Lord, need the intercession. And, people need to know, it's time to seek the Lord.
Amen. Okay, I didn't know if you could feel it. I know you're down there pretty close to Augusta there, so
yeah.
I figured you might have felt it there. Okay, we got some prayer requests here. we'll let Betty turn in, and then I guess if you want to, we'll pray before we do anything else.
Eddie Bolton needs prayer tonight. Edith Hampton and Fred Brennan and Keith Green, they all need miracles. They have cancer, so let's remember this. Let's not take it lightly. But we know that God can heal them. Preacher Woods is in the hospital with cellulitis in his legs, and he's needing God's touch. And Pastor Cox lost his mother last night, so remember him. And my cousin passed away last night, so remember their family. And remember all of our kids that need to be saved. Remember me tonight, I've got a cold. And remember Brother Yearwood, he has to go to see a cardiologist at Wednesday at 9:30. But we're believing that God's going to touch him. And remember my great-nephew that was in the bike wreck that broke both sides of his bones in his face and had to have plastic surgery on his face, and he needs salvation, so remember him tonight.
Praise the Lord. So, Sister Green, you want to go ahead and pray for the needs now or wait?
Yeah, that'd be great. Pastor John, do you have any prayer requests?
We just need prayer for our nation, and so I like for us to pray and remember some of our people down here, you know, that with the storms and the weather and stuff like that, their utilities bills have just really soared, and, people are struggling financially for their just everyday living, and just, people just going about to and fro, and so many people wandering, and, wandering's a curse, and just so many things, and people homeless. I just really like just for us to pray that, we had a broadcast about a week or so about setting the house in order. That's what we really need to do, and I'm just seeing these things. We've been blessed. A lot of people have had storms. Everyone had lost their lights all around us here, and the power went out, and we were the only ones had power around here, so that's a miracle. People couldn't even believe. People on both sides of us, their lights were out all around. The trees were falling down. That God is. I'm just boasting in the Lord that we should have a lot of power. But tonight, church, if we'll seek the faith of the Lord, we won't lose that power. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's go. Yes.
I forgot one more. Tim hasn't said too much about it, but he needs a healing in his body. He's been having these spells where he's like just about passes out. And he used to do it when he was about 11 or 12 years old, and it was his heart. So let's remember Tim tonight.
Amen. We sure will. Let's go ahead and let's pray over these. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, with God,
we come
before
you, right?
God, we give you all the glory, Lord. God, we ask that you move. God, we request
your Father,
body, God, that needs healed.
Dear Lord,
heal God. Father, your will is healed. Lord. Lord, touch them homeless and the shut-in, Lord. Touch them that are afflicted in their bodies. Touch their Tim heart, God, Tim Paul, in the name of Jesus.
Lord, we just pray that you would touch them, God. Lord, that you would turn them around, Father. Lord, that you would fill them with every salvation.
Lord, we give you in the name of Jesus. Touch the people listening to this broadcast. God, if they don't know you, Lord, help them to find you, God. In the name of Jesus, I praise you. Give you all the glory, Lord. The unspoken request, dear Lord. Sister Gladys Dittmer, dear God. Touch her request, dear Lord, tonight, and comfort the people that lost loved ones, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you, dear Lord, God. Touch Clinton, Lord, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. Touch his ears, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord. Touch blood pressure, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for doing it, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Praise God. That there come to me that scripture, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Praise God. It just come to me right then. And go ahead and obey God, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into your homes once again. We've been sitting here and listening, and you know, the subject tonight is what is man, you know, and I guess I'm kind of off on the left field just a little bit there tonight, but also I've had something else come to me, and my whole text has been changed. But there's one verse here in Numbers 23 and verse 19, and we'll go from there over to the 24th chapter of St. Matthew. And, you know, praise God, right here in the 23rd chapter of Numbers and verse 19, it said, God is a man that he, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent, that he said, that he have he said, and shall he not do it, or have he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know, now, praise God, let's turn over to the 24th chapter of St. Matthew. You know, praise God, if God said something, I believe he meant exactly what he said, and he's not a God that he should even have to think about repenting, because when he says something, he says it and he established it. It's always established in the Word of God, and you know, we're just thinking here about the 24th chapter of St. Matthew. It'll take me a minute here probably to find the verse, but anyway, he's saying that there's going to be earthquakes, tornadoes, and all of these things is going to come to happen. Praise God, and we look around today and we see these things happening, and you know, that let us know that this is going to happen. We can look into 24th chapter of St. Matthew and verse 4, and it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You know, praise God. That reminds me right there. There's a man, I believe he's down in Florida. He's got a group of people that he's got with him. Or it's in Virginia, Betty says. That he's got a group of people that he's already putting 666 on their skin. You know, he's putting the three sixes on their skin. He's telling them that he is Christ. And, you know, that let me know, praise God, how close that the Lord is. He's soon coming back. My friend, don't let no man deceive you. And I was just thinking, we sat here and we watched it the other night on the internet, that man telling everybody, and he was showing people. He was putting that 666 on their neck or on their arms. And, you know, praise God, they're telling people today that it's a good thing that they'll be able to be chased down and be able to be found. But I'm going to tell you something. It's just that 666. The Bible speaks about it, that a man would doom his own soul when he does that. And God said first not to do it. God said that he was a God, that he should not have to lie. You know, praise God. And whatever God says, he means it. And he spoke it, praise God. into existence. And he told us that he didn't have to repent no more. Praise God, he one time he repented that he made man, then he was going to destroy it. But praise God, I'm glad that God turned his mind around. I'm glad that he decided that he wouldn't, and he repented over that, but not anymore that God has to repent for anything, because what he says in his word is for settled, and that's exactly what's going to happen. Let's just look just a little bit more right here, then praise God, hallelujah. In verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Praise God. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. You know, that's what I was just thinking there a while ago about. God said this was going to happen, and the earthquake. People might not take it serious, but I'm going to tell you something. I take these things serious. Whenever I hear of this, I know that God is fulfilling of the word of God. I know that it's being fulfilled. And my friend, people need to take heed to what thus saith God. Hallelujah. Let's look into verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You know, praise God, the Christian people are hated today, especially by different people, but a true born again believer, they love. Praise God! I tell you, there's just so many today. The people are going around killing the Christian people and destroying them. But I thank God tonight that we have a God that we can look to and we can know that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm so glad tonight to be able to serve a living God, hallelujah, one that's on the throne, one that's making intercession for you and I tonight. Praise God, I'm so thankful, hallelujah, that the Lord hears our cries and he turns to us whenever we're in trouble. And the scripture says he delivers us from our troubles. I'm so thankful tonight that we are serving a God that way. Hallelujah. Praise God. If he said it, it'll happen. Let's go one more time back over there to Numbers 23 and 19. 23 and 19, it says, God is not a God that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do it, nor hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know, he said it, and it'll happen. I thank God for that. So I'll turn it back to you there, Sister Green. Let you have it there. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Enjoy that word. And I tell you, if you want to be part of this broadcast, you can call in right now at 347-989-8862. If you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. And we are definitely praying for those in the earthquake down there, down south. Praise God. We're leaving in a good report, Brother Yearwood, that hoping that nobody got hurt. But you preach the word right there. It's going to happen. There's, in diverse places, there's going to be earthquakes and pestilence and all these things. Famines are coming. And God is wanting people to get ready for His coming, and He's coming soon. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. I was thinking, I want to, I've searched out some scriptures on the subject. And Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So what is man? Let me go further. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto you, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. And 1 Corinthians talks about in chapter 3, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which ye temple. It's asking a question. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So 1 Thessalonians, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Christ Jesus. And I got to looking at that, and I thought, well, right there, it talks about, and let's read it again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, so we're spirit, man is soul, and man is body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Proverbs 20, verses 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Let me read that again. Proverbs 20 and 27 talks about the spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. In Genesis 2, verses 7, it says that the Lord God formed man of the crust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man become a living soul. So there talks about the spirit of man. In Proverbs, I read to you, in Genesis talks about the soul. It's God's breath that he breathed the life into man and become a living soul. In Luke chapter 24 and 39 talks about, behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So your body is your flesh and your flesh and your bones. So that there covers the three parts of man, as a soul, a spirit, a soul, and a body. Praise God. I was thinking about in 2 Timothy chapter 12, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this still, the Lord knoweth that them that are his. Let's do that again. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this still, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 3, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement, likewise ye husbands dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. So she is the weaker vessel. I talked about that earlier, beginning of the broadcast, that God is over Christ, Christ is over man, and man is over the woman. Praise the Lord. She is the weaker vessel. So here, our body, who is man? We are vessels, praise the Lord. And the woman is the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, praise God, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be pitiful and be courteous. Praise God. So there we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. Beseech you, brother, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so we are to live our mind, our body, our soul, praise the Lord, give it all over to the Lord, praise God, and be an honorable vessel. And women, godly women, are to be subject unto their godly husband. And to if you have a spouse, and today is Valentine's Day, I know that, and I'm not saying this because of that. This is 24/7, all year round. Not just because of today. We see many, you go to the store, you see lots of husbands buying for their wives, and wives are out looking, buying things for their husbands and all. But this is all year round. I'm not talking about buying your wife or your husband flowers all year round, but I'm just saying to respect each other, for this is the way Christ wants us to be. He said for the husband to honor their wives, praise the Lord. And I thank God if you've got a husband or a wife that is godly, I tell you, all year round, do good to them and respect each other. Because if you do this, your prayers won't be hindered. And I'm going to turn it back. The time we have left is I'm going to give it to my wonderful husband. I thank the Lord for him. Thank God for a good Christian home. I thank the Lord for the standards that he keeps, and thank God we agree together to do the godly things in our home that we do, that our children can see. We said it the other night at church that a virtuous woman is more precious than rubies. Her children would call her blessed, and how true that is, and how, you know, the kids, after they've grown and they've left home, who do they call on when they need prayer? Who they call on when they get into a crisis? And they call on mom and dad, because they know the life that we've lived before them. And I'm not boasting, I'm giving God all the glory. Who is man? Are you honorable, or are you of a dishonor? I want to be of honor. I want to be pleasing to God. And everyone that's called in here tonight, I know, is like-minded. And I thank God that we can do a work together. And I see there's another caller here, and I'm going to try to turn on the mic, and I've got to refresh my computer. In the meantime here, I'm going to get Brother Green to obey God, but I'm going to let him know once my mic, this person's mic, can be turned on. Praise the Lord.
All right. I started out tonight on Adam and Eve in the garden, and how that God will bless us and give us dominion I didn't get into that part yet, but I was talking about how that God gave Adam and Eve dominion in the garden, and the Bible said that he called their name Adam, and they too was one flesh, and they both had power over the devil. The devil didn't have no power, excuse me, had no power over them. They was given dominion over everything that moved and everything that walked, everything that crawled, everything that flew. And I tell you, that takes that sound to me like that takes in the devil himself, because he's a created being also. One of the angels said there in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6, what is man? The statement is made, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You see, they looked down, they couldn't figure out what's going on, because God didn't put this world into subjection to the angels. But it says here in verse 6 of chapter 2, it says, let me back up to 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. You see, God put Adam in charge of this world, and there is a world yet to come, the Bible tells us. And in that world, the devil ain't going to be there. The tempter won't be there to tempt us anymore. But right now, we're facing a tempter, and the tempter came by in the garden and tempted Eve and Adam, and they fell. And, you know, Adam, he was cast out. They were cast out of that garden. And they had to start living and trying to make a living and trying to get them clothes on their back and shoes on their feet. And they was struggling probably to make it just like people are today. Brother John brought out how the wind and the cold and the snow and the ice had brought hardship down there where he lives. And then they're talking about an earthquake, and Brother Yearwood was preaching on that earthquake. You know, I'm glad that he went on and obeyed God. You know, there's a whole lot of things going to happen before the end comes. And somebody talked about the mark of the beast. You know, we see all these things in the Bible. The Bible tells me that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. God so loved the world, the Bible said, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You know, the devil's trying to take you out, but he's not just taking you out temporally, but he's trying to take you out of God's blessings in an eternal way. He wants to cheat you out of life eternal. I will turn it back here to Sister Joanna.
Praise God. 336, area code, come in. Tell us who you are and where you're located.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Really good. Go right ahead.
My name is Al. Yeah, my name is Al. I'm calling from Carolina. What is man?
Amen.
What is man? What is man? Can I answer that question?
Amen. Yes, absolutely. Go right ahead.
I searched that question like the angels. I did. I searched that answer for a long time. I got to a point where I began to call on God for the answer. And if you ask, you shall receive. If you knock, it shall be open to you. And I've discovered through the Holy Spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, man is exactly what he is. That's why the angels, they ponder. See, Jesus was a man walking on the earth, and yet the angels still ask the question, what is man? Even after looking at Jesus walking the earth as a man, they still ask that question, what is a man? Man is God. In its fullest sense, man is God, not the God, the creator of the universe, nor the creator of the world, but he's in a sense that he's God because his beginning came out of God, and his end will return back to God. Whether you good or evil, every man has to stand back in front of that which he come out of, which is God. So it's like saying that you have an ocean. You're looking at an ocean, right? And you take a cup, and you take that cup, and you dip that cup into the ocean, and now you got ocean water in that cup. So let's say you take 1,000 cups, and you dip them in the ocean. Now you got 1,000 cups full of ocean water. Well, let's say you do 1,000,000. Now you got 1,000,000 cups full of ocean water. It's going to come to a point where the end will come that those cups will be poured back into the ocean. But while they are full of ocean water, that cup contains everything that is in the ocean. Everything, every substance of that ocean is in that cup right now. You guys are the cups. You are the cups that has been dipped in the spirit. And you are a body full of spirit. You are a body full of God. And at the end, when this body returns back to the ground, that spirit will go back to the spirit where it comes from, which is the spirit of God. So in this earth, we never got a chance to experience our reality in this earth as God, because man can't get over color. White and black against white, and then you got wars among wars, and you got people killing each other and doing all the types of things, and then you have other people serving other gods and other religions. So we never really had a chance to experience fully on this earth what man really is. The truth about man is that Jesus Christ came to the earth as the fulfillment of all that man is. So if you ever want to know, or you ever ask yourself the question, what am I? Take a good look at Jesus, and when you look at Jesus, see him as everything that you are. Because he told us, you remember he told us? He said, as I am, so are you in this world. So that's the answer. And I'm not trying to be funny or anything like that, because I love you guys. And I have to tell my people the truth. And you are my people. You are of my people. And I love you. That's the truth, that what is man? Man is God. He was made, I know the Bible says that man was made a little lower than the angels, but that's not true. The original wording for that was man was made a little lower than Elohim. Elohim being God himself. We was made a little bit lower than Elohim. Then it came a time along where man tried to decipher the scrolls. And when they saw the word Elohim, they translated that word into angels. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's no such thing as man made lower than an angel. Because if you was made lower than an angel, then how come you got all the blessings? How come you got all the promises and they don't have the promises? They don't have the blessings. You have the blessings and you have the promises. You was made a little lower than God. God made you lower than himself. That's why if you was made a little lower than an angel, then in order to get back to God, you got to go through an angel, because you was made a little lower than an angel. So you would have to go through an angel in order to get back to God. But that's not the truth. Men worded that, trying to decipher that, and they kind of messed up a little bit. But in its original context, it stated in the original Bible that man was made a little lower than Elohim. Elohim means God. Our Father, we was made, in other words, the Son was made lower than the Father. That's how you put it. The Son was made a little lower than the Father. If we was made a little lower than the angel, then that means that we would have to look up to the angel, because we were made a little lower than him. But that's not the truth. You see, the reality of it is that you was made a little bit lower than God himself. That's why when you come back to your true self, you have to go through God. And we all know that Jesus on the earth was God. We know that he was the fulfillment of God embodied in the flesh. So we have to go through him, because he was God, and we was made a little bit lower than God. So that's the reality of that. That's the answer to that question, what is man? Man is God. That's why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them for what they know not. Because we had no idea that the same reality that he was walking 2,000 years ago, we had no idea 2,000 years ago that his reality was our reality. His identity was our identity. And we crucified a man that came 2,000 years ago. We crucified a man that was one of us. but we didn't know that. We had no idea that he was one of us like that. So 2,000 years later, we give all our love and our honor and praise to the same one that we crucified 2,000 years ago because we didn't know no better. So that's the thing. Father, do forgive them for what they not know because, see, when you got on this earth, man killing man, when you got on this earth, men raping women and men beating women and men killing their brothers, the reality of it is that every time a man takes the life of another man, he's taking a portion of God out of the earth because we are all portions of God, and that is what is man that the angels are so mindful of. That's why the angels come down from heaven just to look at us closely. And then to see us in our moments of our ignorance, it baffles them to wonder, what is man that you're so mindful of? What is man that you're so destined to keep? What is man that even after he messes up and continue to keep messing up, you still love him? And you know what the Father says? He's my seed. He came out of me. And there's no one greater than him. So as long as we repent, as long as we live a life of repentance and repent of our sins, our Father will always have a place for us in heaven. If we get to a point that we wish not to repent, if we get to a point where we dare not repent, then we lose our place in heaven the same way Adam lost his place in the garden. You see, in the garden, you know that Adam is the son of God. I know that Adam is the son of God. You know that Jesus is the son of God. I know that Jesus is the son of God. Adam and Jesus are both the sons of God. The difference between Adam and Jesus is that Adam is the physical manifestation of the son of God, and Jesus is the spiritual manifestation of the son of God. Both of them are the son of God, and nobody can dispute that. So that's the reality. Adam, before he fell, he was everything that Jesus was because he was fully in the spirit. But he fell out of the spirit and he came into the flesh and he became something other than his true self. The Bible tells us in 1 John that Christ is the life. He's the life of every man that comes into the earth. The Word of God. It says that in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. And it said that life was found in the Word, and that life was the life of every man that came into the earth. Do you not have a life? Then that means that your life being in this earth is exactly what that is exactly what Christ is. And my life, I have a life, and not just me, not just you, not just your husband, but every last one of us have a life. And it says that the life was found in the Word, and the life was found in Christ, and that Christ was the life of every man that came into the world. So we have to truly say, Father, forgive them for what they know not, because we do not know that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the first and the last of what you and I will ever be. And he's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last of what you and I will ever come to be. You see, so that's what is man. Man is everything that God sent his son in the earth to be.
Okay, appreciate that. Call in again. We hope to keep listening in. And I tell you, God did make us man in his image. And
yes, sir.
The Bible tells us there that that's a little G when he said he made man, or he said you're gods, is what he said one place.
That's what Jesus said.
He made
Jesus
man
said
in his own image. And he made him, you know, in the likeness of God, but man has fallen. And
yes,
I wonder,
sir.
Today, I'm going to get back on my message here today. How far has man fallen from the state that he was in? You know, when he came into this world, I believe Adam was a perfect man. You know, the Bible says that Job was a perfect man. And the Bible tells us that Satan targeted Job. And he looked at Job and he began to accuse Job. And, you know, Job said, a man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And, you know, Job experienced a lot of trouble in his life. And I'll tell you today, Brother Yearwood talking about earthquakes in diverse places and all these things are happening. And the earth is shaking and quaking and the waves are roaring and men's hearts are failing them because they're looking on the things that are coming. You know, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, and God is not willing. The Bible said today that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And, you know, we look at man today, many times we see things happening like murder and rape and that, and I think you mentioned that. And, you know, we think about these things, and we don't see God in these kind of people. Well, what we see is the devil controlling them, you know. And Jesus, when he went about doing good, he healed those that were sick and afflicted. And the Bible said that he cast out many devils, you know. And Adam, the first man, was made, the Bible said, a living soul. But the second Adam, that last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And he came down here and suffered. He took on flesh. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. And, you know, I don't know who all heard that song that Joanna played, but that was a beautiful song. And he was on his mother's side. He was Jesus, but on the father's side, he just always was. He was born and laid in a manger on the mother's side, but on the father's side, he always was. I think if you read there in Micah chapter 5, I believe it's verse 2, it talks about that. And it talks about how Jesus came down here to suffer. And he came down here to experience everything that that we have to go through, that he would experience these things, and he would take the pain, and he would suffer pain. And they laid those stripes on his back there in Isaiah chapter 53 because people needed healing, because they needed deliverance. And he said unto which of the angels, said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He's talking about Jesus. I believe they had a conversation in time past. And I believe he said, I'll go. You know, I think it was Isaiah said, he said, here am I, Lord. He said, I'll go. Praise God. And I think Jesus said, I'll go. I'll be the remedy because man has fallen in the garden. Praise God, because, you know, they sowed the fig trees, leaves upon them. They saw that they were naked. You know, sin will bring nakedness in your life. And we find a man out there in the tombs cutting himself breaking the chains. And they put clothes on him, and they couldn't keep clothes on him, and no man could tame him. Well, he wasn't in the image of God at that point. He had fallen from the grace of God. He had gotten way out there somehow or another. People are going out, and they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. We've seen, I believe it was yesterday, we heard about a man started a church, and this church, they just go in there naked. They just, he gets up in the pulpit, they got a cross and everything on the wall, and showed the man standing behind the pulpit. Thank God it didn't show everything, but it showed him, you know, from up his chest up. But there was a cross on the side of the wall. And Brother Yearwood is talking about people claiming to be Christians and claiming to be church people, and they're taking the mark of the beast, which is 666. There in the book of Revelation in the 13th chapter, it talks about it. I'll tell you what, we better get that that spirit away from us. It's making us act like some kind of an animal, some kind of a beast, or some kind of a warlock or a werewolf. We better get these kind of things away from us, from us. We better get in God's Word, and we better find out what is the image of of God is.
That's right.
And he said he
That's
made
right.
man in his own image, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And Adam walked with God, and Adam talked with God, and God talked with Adam. And I'll tell you what, God has talked with men all down through the ages. God has found men that he could walk with and talk with them. And he wants man to live holy, and he wants us to live righteously and godly in this present life. And he don't want us to be looking like the devil's crowd. Let me tell you tonight, he don't want us to garb ourselves in all kind of weird outfits. And he don't want us to piercing our bodies and running bones through our noses and looking like some kind of filing our teeth and things like this. Looking like some kind of an animal or some kind of a beast. But he wants us to be holy, righteous, and godly. He wants us to walk after the Spirit. He wants us to perfect holiness in the fear of God. He wants us to be kind one to another and to love one another. It was love that brought salvation's plan. It was love that took Jesus to the cross. And the Bible tells us if we don't have love, we're like a tinkling cymbal or a clanging brass. We're making a noise, but we ain't getting nowhere. If all we've got is anger and hatred and malice and these kind of things on the inside. But God loves us. He gave his life. He gave Christ a ransom for all, the Bible said, to be testified in due time, to be made known in due time. And he looked down and he saw the sufferings of man, and he decided he was going to do something about it. And he became sin for us who knew no sin. And he put on the robes of flesh and come down and walked among men. And they persecuted him. The Bible said they spit upon him. They plucked his beard. And they plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And he didn't do it for himself, but he did it for us. He suffered for righteousness' sake, that we could have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He took it on himself, the iniquity of us all, that we could get freedom from the bondage of sin, and we could get free from the devil's yoke, that we could be free of people, that we could have power with God. He called his 12 disciples, and he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He's never changed, church. He still wants man to climb back up to where he can be a light, where he can be a city set upon a hill, where the world can see Jesus in the life that we're living, church. We need to put away all the appearance of evil, shun the appearance of evil, and put on Christ. We need to lay aside every weight and every sin and the things that so easily beset us, and run with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. I got something here. I think, I don't know how much time I've got. I've got a little bit of time, not much. I ain't going to read it. But if you look over in Philippians chapter 2, you'll find that he did these things for our sakes. And he said, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. But he took upon him, he didn't take upon him the nature of angels, but he came down here in flesh so that he could be a faithful high priest and things pertaining to God. And with him all things are possible. If we can put our faith back in Christ, if we can believe like he told us to believe, we can get back to the place we need to be one day when this old world is over and this other world comes into view. I'll tell you, we'll be ruling and reigning with Christ. We'll be kings and priests unto God, and we'll be sure to make it in. We won't have to sorrow anymore. We won't have any more temptations. We won't have to suffer. We won't have to go hungry, and we won't have to worry about light bills and all these things. We won't have to worry about a roof over our head, but we'll be living in a place where Jesus is the light. for there'll be a joy forevermore. And I turn it back to Joanna.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We appreciate Brother Al, you coming in here. And said you were from, was it North Carolina? Or South Carolina?
Yeah. If you guys get a chance, if you guys get a chance, read John 10:34. In John 10:34, Jesus said, "Is it not written in your law? I said that you are God." So when you ask that question, "What is man?" Jesus gave us the answer in John 10:34. See, he's the God of gods, but where are the gods? They're going astray. He's the King of kings, but where are the kings? They're going astray.
But that's
he's the Lord of lords,
right there.
But where are the lords? They're going astray. So like you said, brother, we just need to get back in tune with Jesus,
right.
And he'll show us our rightful place with him, is with the Father.
Yeah, look at that. See if your version says that's a little G instead of a big G.
Yes, a little G. Yes, because
Okay,
all
right.
G.
Well, back on.
And the Son is a little G.
We're every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time, and we would glad to have you there. Be with us, and we want to know, did you say South Carolina or North?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Did you feel the earthquake? We hear while we've been on broadcast that y'all down in Georgia area, I believe it was, had an earthquake.
What? I didn't know that.
A 5-point something on the Richter scale. Brother Yearwood, do you remember how large that was?
5.4.
When did that happen?
5.4. Just within the last 2 hours, it happened, said it was able to reach all the way. They felt it over in the Carolinas is what we understood.
I'm originally from Georgia. I'm originally from Georgia, and there has never been an earthquake in Georgia ever since I've been in Georgia. I was born and raised in Georgia, and there has never been an earthquake in Georgia. Never. I'm 34 years of age now. Ma'am?
Yeah.
That was...
was it...
Dust of Georgia?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm 34 years of age, and I was born and raised in Georgia, and ever since I was born until the day I left Georgia, which was up to 2 years ago, Georgia has never had an earthquake. I'm telling you,
wow.
brother, my sister... We are definitely in that time. You see, we are in that time, and this is what I be trying to tell everybody, that we are in a new dispensation where the doors of heaven are open and the Son is getting ready to come down, and he's not the only one coming down. I must tell you guys to prepare yourselves and cleanse yourself through the glory of the Holy Spirit. Please continue to keep purifying your souls, because the Father is coming with the Son. See, the Son is not the only one coming, but the Father, he himself, he who created all of this and gave his Son the power to create us as well, the Father is coming. You see, at first he sent his Son down. Now the Father himself is coming down. And this is why we are in desperate times, we are in dangerous times, but at the same time, we are in the most glorious time for those who believe in Christ. We are in a time of glory for those who believe in Christ. But for those who don't believe in Christ, they are in very dangerous times. They don't know how dangerous it is when the Father himself comes down off his throne to see what's going on this earth. So we are in those days that now the Father and the Son is going to get ready to pay us the visit. And this time, he would not be crucified. This time, he will be well protected and well guarded by those who believe in him. So let's prepare ourselves, brothers and sisters. The time is not over. You got life in you, brother. You're still breathing, brother. It ain't over with yet for you, brother. The Father of glory, the Father of us all, black and white, blue, green, yellow, orange, Chinese, Japanese, it don't matter who you are. The Father himself, the creator of all creations, is going to get ready to come for his creation.
Amen.
Right. Are you on any other Blog Talk radio programs?
No, ma'am.
Is that how you found us? I was just curious.
Well,
are we friends on Facebook?
I went through a Blog Talk, and I came to you guys.
Praise God. You know, over 50,000 listeners worldwide in Kenya, over in Guyana, South Korea, Philippines are all listening to this message right now. I just wanted you to know that.
They need to hear this message. That we, yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
We all truly need to hear it because we are in what we call. See, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I don't make myself of no reputation. But I do know this right here, is that we are in the time of preparation where we must prepare ourselves for the coming of the Father and the Christ, because the Father and the Christ is coming back for the bride. See, Christ is coming back for the bride of Christ, and the Father is coming back for that which is in his image, because he made us out of his image. So the Father is coming for those that are in his image, and the Christ is coming for his bride. We are the bride, my brothers and my sisters. We are the bride that he's coming for. And let this day that we are in the day of the Lord. We are definitely in the day of the Lord. But let not this day be a day to scare you, or let not this day be a day to grieve you or upset you. Just know that you are in a very glorious, beautiful moment because you have been truly covered by the blood of Christ. You have been truly covered by the blood of God. So you're not going to... It's like in the Old Testament when God released the angel of death into the camp, and he told him, he said, go throughout the camp, and wherever you don't see the blood on the doorpost, go in and take out everybody that's in there. Well, Jesus Christ is our blood. He's the blood on the doorpost. And as long as we are under the covering of the blood, when God releasing this earth, as he's already, see, people ain't keeping up with what God is doing, but God has released in this earth the angel of death, the rider on the black horse. And you see, when he's coming through looking for everything that is not covered by the blood. Everything must be covered by the blood in order to be saved. Because God is finna start everything over. He's finna start everything fresh and anew. But man is trying to start a new world order. They're trying to start that quick before God do what he got to do. But regardless of man start a new world order, as they already started.
Brother Al, I hate to cut in here, but we're already off the air. I mean, I don't know what they're going to say if we keep going on. But try to call in.
I love you guys. I appreciate you,
and we start at 10 o'clock, and our time has elapsed. Okay, brother, pray for us. Appreciate you too very much. Thank you for calling.
Your faith will do everything for you.